Congregation, the text for this morning's our sermon is from Revelation 1, the key verse, verse 17. Revelation 1, verse 17, in its context. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, is saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. So far. Comfort for John, who almost died. Two thoughts, what caused John to almost die. And then I saw him, that caused it. And I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, almost died. And secondly, how John was comforted. And he laid his right hand upon me, as saying, and if you not, I'm the first and the last. So comfort for John, who almost died, what caused John to almost die, and how John was comforted. Congregation, our text speaks of John, the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he almost died. He fell over. So overwhelmed, so impressed, so shocked, because what he saw was impressed upon him. Took his breath literally away, and he fainted. What did he see? Well, that's all recorded in the previous verses. And with the help of the Lord, we also go over those texts. What he saw, it takes a while to see that. And may the Lord also give us the same feeling, the same impressions. He also, in his sense, may also fall before the Lord and say, Lord, what shall I do? So go back to verse 9, and follow the text. I, John, who also am your brother. You think about that. John, 90 years old, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, writing letters to the seven churches, starting with, I, John, am your brother. What do you see there? He felt such a strong connection with God's people. They're his sisters and his brothers. Same family, same blood, same offspring, same life, same interests, same features, same holiness, same brokenness, that he felt so close to God's people. No differences are important in age and intelligence and affluence. It's on one thing that matters, that light in the hearts. And he felt connected with that people. I, John, who also am your brother. Do you have that feeling? Do you belong to that family? And do you look at God's people as your brothers and your sisters? Like the form for the Lord's Supper also speaks of, brothers and sisters in the Lord, connected in him, to that special love and family feeling of the same household? Or do you feel someone outside of that? May the Lord kindle that love for God's people, for God's people. Also, I'm your brother. That's love. For the life the Lord has worked in the hearts. Something that connects. What else did he say? I, John, am also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and peace of Jesus Christ. So he says, I know you. You're my family, brothers in the Lord, also companion in tribulation, the same persecution I experienced, He feels the same hardship in his life, not only the consequence of sin, but also the attacks of Satan and of the enemies. I'm your brother in all those things, companion, tribulation, but also in the same kingdom, in the same patience, following the Lord, not lifting up your hand and fist, why does this happen to me? No, a companion in tribulation, in the kingdom, in patience. He says, I know your patience, people. Together we must experience the Lord's hand against us, in a sense. He followed the Lord. So I, John, also am your brother and companion in tribulation, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle called Patmos, an isle, an island, in between Greece and Turkey, in the Aegean Sea, 10 miles by 6 miles, used as a prison. We were banned to that island, and also John was banned to that island in prison. He was over 90 years old, the only one of God's servants left in that time, meaning of the apostles left. And you know why? For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He could not keep his mouth closed. He had to speak about the Lord and his service. He had to entice it and warn people. And they said, stop it. Close your mouth. Don't say those things. You'll be persecuted. It's a crime in our area, in our time. And he yet did it. He could not stop talking about the fear of the Lord and his service to strangers, to God's people, to the congregations. He persisted and continued because he loved souls. He loved the Lord. He had to do that. He sacrificed and he took it when they imprisoned him. For the word of God, would we do that? Would we duck, go underground? Would we yet have the freedom to speak up for the government, even if we have to end up in prison? For the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Some say that John had to work hard on the island, in the marble quarries, getting stone, and in spite of his age. But on the Lord's day, he apparently had some quiet time. The Lord's day, is that not remarkable? The Lord revealed himself to him on the Lord's day, on the first day of the week. What is that, the Lord's day? You say, well, that's God's day. No. The Lord's day. What's the difference between God's day and the Lord's day? The Lord's day is meant, the Lord's day is meant the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Jesus' day. Why? He rose from the dead. The first day of the week, that day, he rose and he celebrated every Sunday. The Lord Jesus' day is the day. We celebrate his resurrection from the dead, his exaltation of the Father. He finished the work, something to celebrate, right? And that day was the day that the church came together and the Holy Spirit revealed himself. Do we still keep that day holy? Is that still an important day, or is it so that we can do more and more on those first days of the week? We can do almost anything else on the first day of the week. Do we still keep it holy? I would like to ask you a favor. This week, think through for yourself what the Lord's day, the Lord Jesus' day, is for. And what you at least should do on that day, instead of not do. what you should do. And see, then there's some time left to other things. I wonder. Be positive and say, this is the day the Lord has given to study the Bible, to come to church, to pray, to sing together. Fill that day with the good things the day is meant for. Then I'm sure if you really do that, then tonight the church will also be full. You won't have less people in church tonight. If you see it, this is the Lord Jesus' day, and it pleases the Lord so often to work on that day. See that here? So I was in the Spirit. The Lord lifted up out of his life in a vision, in a different dimension. He saw things of a different reality, and he got a vision. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. A great voice, penetrating, loud, majestic, echoing, filling, vibrating. He heard a voice of a trumpet. It was a voice of a trumpet. We hear more often of trumpets in the Bible. Every morning when the temple doors are opened, the trumpet blew at the beginning of the Jubilee year. They blew the trumpet also at the second coming of Christ. The trumpet will sound to impress people, to let people feel you have to listen now. Attention, this is the great voice of a trumpet. Pay attention, tremble, listen, open your ears. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Alpha and Omega, that is the Greek alphabet, right? The first letter, Alpha, and the last, not the Z, but the Omega. Alpha, Omega, from A to Z. The whole alphabet, the first and the last. He begins, he continues, he continues, he keeps continuing, and he finishes the work. He is doing everything, everything, all the letters of the alphabet. I'm the Alpha and Omega. It all depends upon me. In times of persecution, in times of danger, it was a dangerous time. Not only enemies outside and persecution, all enemies inside. The first love they had left, the first works they didn't do, Satan's attacking, they did not fight into blood. So many different difficulties inside also of the church. And the Lord said to him, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I write in a book. And send it unto the seven churches that are in Asia. Write it up, copy it, send it off to the seven churches that are mentioned here. I looked at that. Don't we miss Colossae, for example? Well, there are only seven churches, there are many more churches. Well, only seven. Some say those are seven postal districts. Maybe. But I don't think that's so important. Seven is the number of holiness and completeness. It refers to the entire church of the New Testament. And it refers to the church now also over the whole world. The church, the seven congregations represent the church in general. And so John writes a book we still have, so no church. So John's standing there on the Lord's day, and there behind him, that great voice, he turns around. Look. And I turned to see the voice, verse 12, that speak with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Not one candlestick with seven arms. Seven lampstands with seven lamps on their oil lamps with wicks and olive oil, golden censers to spread light, golden candles and golden lampstands. They did not have light of themselves. Someone else put the fuel in there. Someone else tended the wigs. Someone else took care of them. Those seven candlesticks represent the church. Seven candlesticks, golden candlesticks, paid for, valuable in God's eyes. And the light, they don't have the light of themselves, but they have spread light. Spread light. And I see, so to speak, those wicks smoldering and flickering, and they need to be cleaned and cut and tended to. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst, now it's becoming even more important, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. So are those candlesticks in a circle? And is he standing in the midst of them? Looking around, walking around, adding fuel, adjusting the wicks, tending the lamps. Someone cares. Someone looks upon them. Someone protects those seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Now you know that expression, right? Son of Man. You say, of course, that means the human nature of Christ. That is possible. But I'm not so sure here. Because it's an expression of Daniel 7, referring to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Specific standing terminology for the Lord Jesus as the Messiah. And I saw in the midst of them one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. And the word garment is a very specific word. A word not used for common people. Not used for common people. They didn't wear garments like this word is mentioned. This is a priest garment. For the garment is a priest. White, probably. Girded about the paps with a golden girdle. Paps is the chest. There's a sash, a golden sash around his chest. Like the priest had some golden threads woven into his sash. And this is the high priest of the high priests. And he is the Lord Jesus Christ as the high priest who can give, can have compassion to the multitude and pay the price. And praise for his people. It's the Lord Jesus. So as high priest, he cares for the golden candlesticks. And so the Lord Jesus, right, takes care of his church. Those wicks are smoldering. And I see smoke and flickering. And there is persecution and lack of faith, a lack of holiness, a lack of the first love, and certain things against them, and so weak in faith that they will fail and faint, and the Lord Jesus stand there and keep a close eye on all those candlesticks in the wicks. As the high priest, as the one that finished the work himself, as the one who paid his own with his own blood, the Lord Jesus was on the cross, as it is finished, and the veil of the temple rent from the top to the bottom. More their dignity, more their comfort to see that, that royal high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, he loves to do his work. It's his delight to adjust the wicks, to care for his people, his beloved church. He is the faithful one, and therefore the future of the church is stable. He has it in his hands. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. Keep in mind, John saw this all and fell as dead as at his feet. So what did he see? He saw the Son of Man standing in the midst of those golden candlesticks, those lampstands, with the golden sash and the long garment. And he saw his hairs white like wool, white as snow. Tell me, young friend there, what does that mean? Someone with long white hair, white as snow. You would say, well, that is probably holiness. White is purity. Well, read you from Daniel 7. In Daniel 7, we read about this. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man come with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And he brought him near before him. And verse 17, and following verses. In Daniel 7 is about the Ancient of Days. And that's the terminology John is using. It is someone of an old age, someone with white hair, someone elderly. And what we refer to the Lord in Daniel 7, he now applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. To make a long story short, is this. It is wisdom. Elderly wisdom. Someone who has matured and learned and experienced and knows by now and is so well equipped to give advice. Someone who knows with all his holy wisdom. And so he sees the Lord Jesus standing with the white hair, wise, knowing what he's doing, exactly knowing also about the future and the past, all things in his hands. Someone you can trust, someone you can ask advice, someone you can follow. It is purity, but it's also wisdom. And John sees that. John sees that Son of Man standing there with his white hair and that white garment and the golden sash. And he fell as dead. By the way, are you listening to someone about someone you love? Is this the Lord Jesus Christ has a special place in your heart or not? And his eyes were as a flame of fire. Penetrating, knowing. He sees everything. Children, young people, the Lord Jesus has eyes as a flame of fire. Goes through the whole earth, giving light, and he knows and he sees everything. And there is flame of fire in there that is anger against sin, rather against sin, but also holy enthusiasm, his willingness to serve, his zeal in his eyes, and he is not slow, but he is quick, and he is determined. We live in a time that elderly people in their 80s and 90s are marginalized, set apart. Are those, that old man there, that old woman, that's not biblical. In God's word, we see that the elderly, the hoary hair, was a crown for them. White hair was a crown, was an honor, was dignity, and people respect elderly people. You live in a time that in your 20s, you're in your top years, and you start declining in our culture. In the old culture, it was different. They ask respect for elderly people. But now to know him, which the Ancient of Days, the Lord Jesus, said to sit at his feet to listen to the prophet. He's not only royal dignity, not only high priest, he's also prophet, wise. And his feet likened to fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Look at that. At his feet. Feet of brass. Coming out of the oven. Has melted. That's the hardest metal known at the time. That means judgment if you get a kick of that foot. If he steps on you. If he walks, that is stability, that is judgment, that is the fear of the Lord, to lay at his feet, to surrender, because he stamps out sin. He also is hard against the enemies with his boots, so to speak, hard against enemies, but also can stamp out sin from the church. He can also turn against his own church and people and take measures. And his voice is the sound of many waters. Have you been at the Niagara Falls? Have you heard the thunder? The water coming down? You ever stand on the beach, the West Coast? The storm and the waves crash against the shore. That's impressive. That's thunder. And so John hears the voice of him. And his voice, the sound of many waters. And you think of the waterfall, bridal fall. You can't stop the waterfall either, right? You can't say, stop it now. Let's turn it down. So this voice comes and speaks as a waterfall. It doesn't stop. Goes in many languages over the whole earth. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. So he walks in the midst of 7 candlesticks. But he has also something in his hand. 7 stars. It's not the congregation, right? The congregations are those candlesticks. Stars. 7 stars. That's explained later. It's in the last verse. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks is those stars of the 7 churches. The 7 stars, the angels of the 7 churches, the pastors, the ministers, the office bearers. He's holding them, the right hand, using them, being faithful to them. He calls them, he equips them, he anoints them, he gives them strength, he helps them through. He is faithful, he says, you don't have to do it yourself, I do it for you. I hold the 7 stars in my right hand. The Lord Jesus Christ himself cares for the church, and he gives pastors and teachers and elders and deacons. It's his will. He holds in his right hand, his right hand, in the right hand of his favor, a safe place to be, encouraging for the future as well, right? May the Lord give young men called to mission field, called to be an elder and deacon, pastor, and being also part of the 7 stars, his right hand, it's a good place to be. Ask the Lord if he may call you to the service. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. So out of his mouth came a sword. It does say he was holding a sword with his mouth. It came out of his mouth. It proceeded out of his mouth, the two-edged sword. So the meat of the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man, when he speaks, his speech is like a sword. When he says, yes, it is yes, and he says, no, it's no. When he says, fire is fire, and he says, light is light, the death is death. There's power in his word. It's a two-edged sword to convince, to fight, to speak boldly. Compare this with chapter 2, verse 12 and 16. And the angel of the church of Pergamum was right. These things saith he which has a sharp sword, two edges, I know thy works. So the Lord speaks in the church as well with a sword and convinces people of sin and the righteousness and holiness. And he draws through with his sword. He speaks, and something happens. That sword, he causes people to he wounds people. He draws people. It is his word, his work. So the Lord governs. That's the key word. He governs with that sword. It's authority and power, and it has results. He's not weak. He is efficient. See the Son of Man standing there in his white garment, golden sash, white hair, piercing eyes, to the sword out of his mouth. And his countenance, his face, was as the sun shining in his strength, at noonday, full sun, in your face. You can't see it, right? You can't look into that. It will burn your eyes, may make you blind. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has that shining face. So back to our text. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Who can stand here and survive? Who can say, oh, interesting. Who would not feel impressed by this? He fell at his feet as dead. And at that time, in that place, he experienced God's comfort. That's how the Lord works, right? To those shepherds in the fields of Ephrata, the shining lights around them, and they fear and tremble as if fear not. And so the Lord caused people to fear and gives comfort so that they don't only tremble, not only rejoice, but rejoice with trembling. So now you know why he fell as dead at his feet. Let's go to the second thought. Congregation, you may misinterpret the message so far. And so I fear, what a sight, the Son of Man, his eyes, his hair, his clothes, his feet, it's judgment, I fear. But the purpose is to comfort. The purpose to comfort John. Then I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me. So you may feel this way in this morning, kind of, the Lord is against me, the law is against me, I must die, I must succumb, I must disappear, I must go to hell. That's the way the Lord saves his people. Luther said, kind of extreme, the way to heaven is through hell. I know what he means. You see something of that here. I fell as dead. And there the Lord comes with his grace and comforts his people. That's how it often goes and more goes in the life of God's people. Make room for the Lord Jesus Christ with his right hand, the right of his favor. The right of his favor, his power upon me. He touched him. He said, John, I know you. I know you personally. I lay my right hand upon you like a mother does, a father does, with a little child, putting your hand on the head. saying unto you, fear not, I am the first and the last. So does the Lord wants them to fear or not? The Lord wants this will to fear in a moderate way, and yet to also seek the salvation, the joy in the Lord Jesus Christ, to fear and tremble at the same time. Now for a few applications. You've heard of the Son of Man standing, walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. You know what he looks like? I'll tell you something. He lives still. It's not a story. It's not something of the past. It's present time. He lives right now in heaven. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. It's reality. He exists. May the Lord bring that home today, that the man you've heard of this morning hour is alive and to be counted with reality. He is the lion, he is the lamb, he is also the Son of Man, and looks like this in his holy attributes. Count on it. Young friends, this Jesus is still alive, and that's why there's a church yet. He's holding the seven stars in his right hand. He walks in the midst of the golden candlesticks. There's a church yet on earth, and he cares for the church. He pays for the church. He prays for the church. He's the first and the last. He exists. He is there. He's real. So when you pray, pray to God, and also keep this in mind. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he comes to judge the quick and the dead. And oh, look at his feet. Look at those eyes. Look at the holiness. Look at the wisdom. Look at the offices he carries. Someone so highly honored and glorified. He has been exalted. Some pictures of the Lord Jesus have been circulating in children's Bibles and books, and you see an elderly man with a beard and a kind, almost feminine expression in his face of kindness and softness, lamb-like. You know, look at this. It's different. The Lord Jesus is not a suffering man anymore. He's exalted right under the Father, and he has the same patience, the same love, but don't forget about his exaltation, about his rights and justice. So he lives. Next thing. You will meet with him someday. This Jesus pictured in Revelation 1, you will see him someday. All eyes will see him. Everyone will see him. Also them that pierced him. All kindreds will see him and fall as dead at his feet and say, mountains fall on us and hills cover us, for that face shines as the sun in his power. You'll see him in his wisdom. You'll see him in his patience. You'll see him as he's been pictured here. Think about that. Now think about it today. It's the Lord's Day today, right? Take some time this afternoon to meditate on this. To go over this chapter, say, Lord, someday I will see him personally and stand for God's judgment seat have to give account. And all those eyes, they'll look at you. And that flame of fire will reach you. And the two-edged sword will come out of his mouth to you, towards you. And all those feet. Think of yourself. I plead you, think of yourself. You will see him. You will see him. Don't look the other way. Don't think about other things. Let it sink in. Say, Lord, ask Lord to let it sink in. To see him. It'll be something to hear of his voice. Of his mouth. I don't know you. You that work iniquity. Disappear. Depart from me. Depart from me, will say to them, unconverted. And all those feet, and all that flame of fire, and all that face shining at the sun, there'll be something. And the Lord Jesus will be the judge, and he will take care of his adversaries. So he's alive. You'll meet with him. Next point. Prepare to meet him. Don't only think, oh, somebody will come. Prepare to meet him. Prepare to meet your God. Prepare? What is that? Well, in chapter 2, verse 17, you read it. Repent ye. Repent ye, why would you die? Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Seek him. Bow your knees. Take your time on Sunday afternoon, Sunday night after the service. Take your time. It's the Lord Jesus Day. Take your time. You have lots of other things to do, maybe. Seek the Lord. Take your time to seek him, to read the Bible, to open a commentary to say, Lord, teach me the ways to go. Seek to be humbled. Seek to know your sins. Seek to know that place that you fall as dead at his feet and you have no worthiness of yourself, can't stand anymore. Seek that place as Lord to lead you to the place of humility. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. Seek to know him. Seek to believe in him. I should say it stronger. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved. Seek him, for it is too late. So he is alive. You will meet with him. Prepare to meet him, and you, believers, I mean true believers, I mean you, God's people, you know something of this, you received the brokenheartedness, you were slain, you had those moments that you fell as dead, right? You were lost, completely lost, you know about that, and the Lord in his goodness, in the gospel, in the preaching, in the reading of the word, laid his right hand upon you and comforted you, right? Remember those times of that close of the Lord, and the Lord touched you. I know you, and you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. It was so lively. See your King. Adore him this morning. Say, praise his holy name. Magnify the Lord. Go over those points yourself, this text. Say, Lord, how beautiful to see this. Adore him. He is not against you. He is for you. He has paid the price for us. He has given his life to save us from death, and makes it so well. He has not remained in death. He rose from the dead and is now at the right hand of the Father. And he is not only holding the stars, he is looking at the people of the Lord. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is faithful. He is patient. And stay close to him. Ask the Lord for more knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to have an increased knowledge of self and an increased knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and try to find more of him in the scriptures. Meditate on that. Ruminate. Shoot at God and say, Lord, may I know more of this. And you standing so far off, you little ones in faith, you have feared a chapter like this, and yet the Lord says, don't fear, I'm the first and the last, and seek salvation only in him. It's not the Savior, but him. Young friends, in closing, I'm concerned about some of you. Some of you are hardening your hearts and doing things you shouldn't do. You know that. You know it yourself. Your conscience may speak. You just go over your conscience and you harden your hearts. Someday you'll meet this Son of Man, right? And he's talking to you also this morning. Seek him and live, for it is too late. Don't wait till the Lord throws the reins in your back and let you go. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid the right hand upon me of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. It's our hope. It's our expectation. Amen. Lord, make it real. He lives. He's still there at the right hand of the Father. May we tremble and fear and long and seek. Oh, Lord, make it clear to the people. Someday you will meet with him. We meet with him today, Lord, in the Word, and tremble today and see him and fall as dead at his feet. O Lord, cause sinners to prepare, for it is too late. Now it is the time. The procrastinators, Lord, we delay and delay and are so busy. Give also the time and the will to seek the Lord. Graciously forgive the shortcomings, but Lord, only a word here and there. Apply by thy Spirit is enough. It will testify against, be in favor of us. Help us through this day. Give us a good Sunday, a good the Lord's day, also tonight in thy house. In Jesus' name alone, amen.